the gospel of the Lord, the good news of God, this note to us from God through Luke this morning does not feel much like good news to me. Every year I read this passage, and every year I think that maybe, finally, the world is really ready for the Messiah to return. Not ready as in, please come and make things right, Jesus, but ready as in, God finally has given up on creation. Every year my faith wobbles a little bit with this reading. Every time we read it, we can check all of the signs that Jesus lists in our end of the world boxes. According to him, false prophets, check. Wars and insurrections, check. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, earthquakes, plagues, check, 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 check. And if dreadful portents means dreadful behavior, check. Betrayals, arrests, death, check, check. For the first 300 years or so of new Christianity, practicing the Christian faith would definitely mean a daily danger of punishment all the way up to death. And in those days of the early church, there were all those other things too. There were earthquakes and wars and famines and plagues. There was dreadful behavior by appointed leaders, and neighbor pitched against neighbor upon occurrence. All of that happened in those days within the crucible of the very strong belief that the Messiah was going to return any day and make things right. But he did not. This issue of the second coming of Christ has been a tough problem that Christianity has had to deal with over these several thousand years. And according to Luke, even Jesus didn't really know the answer to when he was going to return. A few minutes later, after this part of the conversation that we have this morning, Jesus says to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place." But that generation did pass away, and countless generations have since then. And as far as we know, the second coming of our Lord is still in our future. This uncomfortable, even frightening passage looks backward in time, and it looks forward in time. It encompasses all that has been and all that is now and probably all that will be on this broken, wounded, confusing earth. Jesus is coming to the end of his public teaching in this passage. In a day or so, he will join his disciples at supper for the very last time. He has said all that he came to say. He has done all that he knows to do. And there he sits in the temple with his disciples, watching people come and go. And they begin to admire that stunning building. And he tells them the way it's going to be. This does not feel much like good news to me. But then I get a little flicker of my faith. It rises up and it says to me, my faith says, in the gospel, there is always good news. It's there, even if we have to put aside our preconceived ideas of this reading, if we have to peel back our expectations and our surface reading of Luke and look underneath a little bit and wonder, why has God sent us this note through the gospel writer, Luke? So I tried reading this from another angle. I took a look inside, I checked with some other people, and I realized that the good news is there. It is embedded in what Jesus is saying. Instead of saying that God has given up, that God has checked out to travel to unexplored areas of the universe, instead of saying that all of this reality, the wars and the horrible things and the earthquakes and the famines and the plagues are signs of the absence of God, Jesus is saying that, indeed, these are signs of God's presence. God was present so long ago when our ancestors in faith dealt with this wounded world, and God is present with us now as we dwell in the broken places. Jesus cautions us not to follow the false messiahs, the seductive prophets who tell us that they know the right answer to salvation. He says, do not be terrified. Do not be terrified. Don't be led astray from the one who gives us the promise of God's presence in all things. And when it seems like the world is burning down all around you, do not lose heart. Jesus says to us here, I never promised to lead you around the trouble. I promised to lead you through it. Hold on. Hold on to one another, and I will lead you through, he says. When our pilgrimage group traveled a couple of summers ago along St. Cuthbert's Way in Scotland and then in England, we were walking between 8 and 13 miles a day. Usually we were strung out, all of us, on a long and winding path. It was well marked, so we didn't feel like we needed to walk together. Some of the group were very fast walkers. Some elected to walk very slowly. And the rest of us just sort of meandered along in the middle. But periodically, the ones in front would stop and rest and wait until they could at least see the ones in the very back and make sure they were still there before they set off again. When we were scaling a mountain trail that was meant really only for a mountain sheep, we encouraged one another. We waited for each other, and sometimes we would carry the heavy backpack of another. When we clambered up steep and slippery rocks that were next to a river, we offered each other a hand, and we pulled each other up over the rocks. And on the morning when we finally walked to Lindisfarne, Holy Isle, we started when it was still dark, before the dawn had even broken. And to make things even more interesting, you know, in Scotland and in England, we also walked in a heavy bank of fog in the dark. And we walked close enough each other through the cow fields that morning that we could see the feet of the person in front of us. And we found our way to Holy Isle through 10 days of walking by holding on to one another. This note from God through Luke says to us today, hold on to each other, and I will lead you through. Never let go. Never let go of me, God says, for I will never let go of you either. I will hold on to you in life, and I will hold on to you in death. Not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. So look around. Look to somebody who is reaching their hand out to you and grasp it. Reach your own hand out. Ask for help. Hold the hand of somebody else. Reach out, because not one of us can do this alone. Hold on to one another, Jesus says, and I will lead you through.